AOPA responds to another USA Today hit piece. China reverses itself on keeping space peaceful and celebrating 80 years of 99s. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, November 3rd, 2009. USA Today is back to bashing general aviation and small airports, and AOPA is back on defense. In an article in Monday's edition titled, Airports Get $1.1 Billion for Pet Projects, the paper is again banging the drum for the idea that airports without airline service are unworthy of federal funding, and that because some capital improvements are funded by congressional earmarks, the entire barrel of apples is bad. At USA Today's website, where readers can respond, the comments have been interesting. One reader asks the paper, quote, Did you think Sully Sullenberger first learned to fly or continues to hone his glider skills at O'Hare International? Another reader observes, Let's see, airlines buy big ads in USA Today, so let's be the mouthpiece for an incompetent industry that fails to deliver even mediocre service. And of course, let's twist and convolute the facts. Time to read a real newspaper instead of this. Most of the comments are anonymous, but not this one, which ends, quote, Maybe USA Today's next big story will be that billions of dollars are spent on roads used by privately owned cars instead of on improving bus terminals, unquote. That one comes from someone with a screen name of Try and Fly, but it's also signed, Sincerely, Craig L. Fuller, AOPA President and CEO. Some economic commentators have openly worried about how China might take advantage of an economically compromised USA. If you thought all that talk was nothing more than Chicken Little, you might want to listen to this. France's AFP News yesterday quoted a top Chinese Air Force commander as saying the time has come to base weapons in space, a policy shift coinciding with the country's rapidly approaching capability to do so. Air Force Commander Zhu Qilang told the People's Liberation Army Daily, It's imperative for the PLA Air Force to develop offensive and defensive operations in outer space. Quote, The competition between military forces is moving towards outer space. This is a historical inevitability and a development that cannot be turned back. We must build an outer space force that conforms with the needs of our nation's development and the demands of the development of the space age, unquote. Up until now, China has been a big talker about an international treaty against the militarization of space. But suddenly, in January of 2007, China did a 180, demonstrating the capability to destroy orbiting satellites with ground-based weapons by taking out one of its own obsolete communication satellites. I'm reminded of President Reagan's announcement of the stealth bomber and the Soviet Union's vocal and prophetic admission that the balance of power was becoming unaffordable. Won't this make NASA budgets fun to watch for the next couple of years? This week marks the 80th anniversary of the 99s. Named for the 99 women who became charter members back in 1929. Amelia Earhart was the first elected president of the group after it operated informally for its first 2 years. Originally formed to allow networking among women pilots fighting the stereotypes of the day, the organization today has a $4 million trust fund from which it administers more than 500 scholarships. Read more background in the story dated November 2nd on aero-news.net. And if you're inclined to celebrate the anniversary, go see Amelia, starring Hilary Swank. It's in theaters now. Up next on ANN, Boeing's strike zone comments were a hint. Will aerospace suppliers move to the southeast? And the Air Force appears serious about keeping its nuclear house in order. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 3rd. I'm Paul Platt. When Boeing was studying the economics of various prospective locations for its 777 assembly plant 20 years ago, then-Chairman Frank Schrantz told a meeting of the Seattle Chamber of Commerce in 1991 that building the plant in Alabama would reduce costs 30 to 40% over the Seattle area. He warned at that time, quote, Could Puget Sound turn into an aerospace rust belt of the 21st century, complete with padlocked factories, unemployment lines, and urban blight? It certainly could, unquote. Boeing more recently noted that since 1995, the International Association of Machinists has voted to strike the company in 4 out of 5 contract cycles. The Seattle Press Intelligencer reports that on October 7th of last year, 5 weeks into the latest IAM strike, Boeing VP Fred Kaiga appeared at an aerospace conference in Everett titled Cleared for Takeoff. He followed an upbeat speech by Governor Christine Gregoire with a sober warning. Quote, "We can't afford to become known as the strike zone," unquote. He told the paper the term had been cleared by CEO Scott Carson and added, quote, "While we've disappointed customers for other reasons in recent years, too, we believe this track record of repeated union work stoppages is earning us a reputation as an unreliable supplier to our customers, who ultimately provide job security by buying our airplanes," unquote. The IAM responded, of course, that the delays in the Dreamliner were caused by all the outsourcing. Now, Boeing has announced it will locate its second final assembly plant for the 787 Dreamliner in North Charleston, South Carolina, where Vought Aircraft Industries was recently acquired, renamed Boeing Charleston, and will officially be folded into Boeing Commercial as of January 1st. New Boeing Commercial Airplanes CEO Jim Albaugh's thinly veiled official statement last week built upon the strike zone theme. Quote, "We're taking prudent steps to protect the interests of our customers as we introduce the 787-9 and ramp up overall production to 10 twin-aisle 787 jets per month," unquote. Boeing emphasizes it has no plans to abandon building planes in Puget Sound, but locating the second plant in a right-to-work state could certainly upgrade the company's ability to hold out against future strikes in Washington state. This week's question becomes, will any Boeing suppliers follow the aircraft giant or at least geographically diversify to the southeast? The state, a South Carolina newspaper, notes that BMW began production at a new plant near Spartanburg, South Carolina in 1994, and while it directly employs 5,000 people, another 18,000 local jobs were created by suppliers. So, will Boeing suppliers pack up and head for the Sun Belt? Brian McDermott, VP of Supplier Management at the Aerospace Industries Association, tells the Puget Sound Business Journal some may find it cost-effective, but, quote, "With modern technology and transportation and infrastructure, it's not necessarily critical that it be in the same neighborhood," unquote. Reinforcing that it's serious about raising the bar on the standards by which U.S. nuclear assets are managed, the Air Force has relieved the commander of the 5th Bomb Wing at Minot Air Force Base, North Dakota, of his command. Colonel Joel S. Westa, who assumed the command in November of 2007, was removed by Major General Floyd L. Carpenter, commander of the 8th Air Force. The service stressed that there was no misconduct or wrongdoing alleged, and there was no oversight which led to danger to the public. Instead, Westa was found to be unable to foster a culture of excellence, lack focus on the strategic mission during his command, and substandard in performance during nuclear surety inspections. The newly activated 69th Bomb Squadron was deemed not ready to perform its nuclear mission, contributing to the loss of confidence. Westa assumed the post just weeks after 70 airmen received reprimands or other discipline of varying severity in October of 2007, for oversights which resulted in live nuclear warheads being carried cross-country under a B-52. General Carpenter commented, quote, "Perfection is the standard. We will continue to demand exacting focus, attention to detail, discipline, and dedication to the highest principles and standards for all activities surrounding the nuclear enterprise," unquote. Still ahead, a Montana woman pleads guilty in a 2007 airliner bomb hoax. A former German pilot is living in the terminal of a Brazilian airport, and there's a reason they call it dope. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, November 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. A Cessna 210D that landed in Liberal, Kansas last week was met by local authorities who seized 125 pounds of cocaine and later arrested the two men who had flown the plane. Dean Brian Moya and Richard Allen Vickery, both from Hemet, California, have been charged with one count each of possession with intent to distribute cocaine. WIBW-TV reports that the Department of Homeland Security tracked the airplane from northern New Mexico and alerted local authorities in Liberal that Moya was operating the aircraft with a medical certificate that had been revoked due to drug use. Moya and Vickery were arrested at a local hotel after drug-sniffing dogs alerted authorities to the presence of drugs on the plane, and a search warrant was executed. The cocaine was found in two suitcases on board the aircraft. A woman in Sheridan, Montana, has been convicted of making a bogus bomb report to officials at Butte's Burt Mooney Airport in 2007. Mary Pasold pleaded guilty in U.S. District Court in Missoula last week. Prosecutors said she claimed in a telephone call to have been at the airport on July 5, 2007, and overheard two men of Middle Eastern descent discuss a plan to place a bomb on a flight to Florida. Court records show that Pasold used an alias in making the call, but it was traced to her cell phone. The Billings Gazette reports an investigation at the airport confirmed the threat was a hoax. Pasold will be sentenced on February 5th. She faces 5 years in prison and fines of up to $250,000. And finally today, a former German pilot who was reportedly dumped by a Brazilian woman he met on the internet has been living for the past 2 weeks at Viracopos Campinas International Airport, and he won't say when he plans to leave. Airport workers who have gotten to know the man, identified as Heinz Muller, say he's out of money and they bring him meals from the food court. He reportedly spends his time on his laptop computer and occasionally talks with passengers and airport staff in mixed Portuguese and Spanish. A spokeswoman for Brazil's Civil Aviation Authority told the Associated Press that Muller arrived in Rio de Janeiro October 2nd, and he's welcome to stay in Brazil as long as he doesn't break any laws. The normal visa for Europeans visiting Brazil is 3 months, so Muller won't face deportation until early next year. He says he'd like to stay in Brazil. The German embassy has declined to comment. Heartsick people often do strange things, but Muller may actually be onto something. I'm told that if you're looking for a surefire way to fall in love, girl watching in a Brazilian airport is not a bad way to go. But if he expects it to be mutual, he probably needs access to better grooming and hygiene than are available in the terminal's men's room. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Arnold Palmer's opening day comments from NBAA 2009. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.